Episode 166 of the TV Dudes Podcast, recorded January 11th, 2018. Network TV. All right, guys, it has been, we haven't even talked about network TV since 2017.
That's because most of it's hot garbage.
Wait, networks? Those are still a thing?
I guess so.
You mean like the things you watch on Hulu?
Yeah. Apparently, they're still making television out there just on
who would have thought?
This station called ABC and Fox and CBS.
none of which we're talking about this week. It's strictly NBC and... Oh, it is Fox. Okay.
No, we're doing Fox NBC and Fox.
Yeah.
A little bit of Fox, a little bit of NBC. And Hulu for Runaways, just because I finished that season, Randy finished that season, and we came down on opposite sides about the quality of that season.
We're going to go head-to-head later.
I haven't finished it. I'm going to decide whether or not to finish it based off of who draws more blood.
I think you're going to have to make the decision on which of us is right, not having based on the show, but on which of us makes better arguments.
Oh, man. don't make your decision on who bleeds more.
Yeah, I may rethink Star Wars, so you can do it again.
I just happen to have really thin blood, okay? Don't hold this against my argument. All right. We are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Kyle.
I guess let's just jump into it. Kyle, well, hold up. Kyle, we haven't seen you in like a month and a half.
Oh, my gosh. I've been living in the snow, living in an igloo. Actually, how do Eskimos build houses?
How do they build lots of houses?
They glue them together.
I'm shaking my head in disappointment.
Where were you that passes for humor, Kyle?
I was in the Midwest.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
Fair.
Yeah,
I spent a couple weeks in Wisconsin. I did a week in Portland with my now fiance's family, my future in-laws.
Yeah, congrats on that, by the way.
Thanks. And
when you were in Portland, were there any gas fires? Because I understand there's a new self-pumping thing going on that's causing a lot of consternation.
Oh, my gosh. So we were right on the tail end of that.
Self-pumping? Whoa, dude.
So here's the weird thing about Portland is it's all – you can't pump your own – well, until recently, you can't pump your own gas.
Yeah. I was making a masturbation joke.
No. I did chew guns for the first time, and we got that stuff that when you shoot it explodes like
– dynamite?
It actually has mites at the end of it. But, you just pour a little powder in a can and you hit it with an assault rifle. Bop, bop, bop.
Dang.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty rad. Hey, folks, before we get into the show, we wanted to remind you guys, if you want to help us out, please go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write a little review. That helps us out a lot. You can also go to patreon.com/TVDudes there. You can make a per-episode pledge. Give us a buck or two an episode if you like what you're hearing. In exchange, we do weekly little chats, little podcasts that are bonus exclusives just for you, people that are patrons. So
sometimes they're super fun. Sometimes, like this week, it's Randy yelling about Donald Trump for 20 minutes.
Bonus stuff.
That could be fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Stuff that we wouldn't subject you to for free, but if you pay us,
we will subject you to it.
We also want to say that we are proud members of the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
And hey, we're recording out of our Permanent Record Studio.
Permanent Record Studio.
Which is on South Congress. If you guys happen to be in Austin and you are looking to record a podcast, hit us up.
Or a vidcast. We have a sweet-ass video studio, too.
We do. We actually have some people over across the hall, Austin Live and Local. They're doing a live show right now.
I love our studio. I mean, we used to record at my house, which was super convenient for me.
Yeah.
But it's totally worth the drive, because this place is swanky.
Yeah, it cut 30 minutes off my drive easy.
It's benefiting all of us, for the most part. Randy has to drive here, but otherwise.
But I love the studio. It's so awesome.
We also wanted to pimp a couple of the shows that are on our network. The Good Die Young is Les's project that is ongoing, and it's actually nearing the end. I think he's on episode 8.
Yeah, I was catching up on that today. His Jordan Rosenberg interview is fantastic.
It's so good. Nice. He's going through the first season and only season of the show The Middleman, And you guys can watch along, watch the show. I think you can get it on iTunes, and then you can listen episode by episode as he does recaps and talks to the cast and crew. Really cool show. Is thegooddieyoungtv.com. Go check that out. And also, we wanted to talk about our buddy Melissa Garamonte's show, FemTV. It's FemTVpodcast.com. And her podcast, FemTV, is a series where she interviews different women working in the television industry. She goes like in depth with them, like in a bunch of different fields. It's really nice.
She's a great interviewer. She gets a lot of good guests. And we love Melissa.
Yeah.
Nice.
She lives up in Canada, and I hear it's really cold up there right now.
Can't be colder than Texas.
Yeah.
Just a pinch. She coming down for South By?
I hope so.
That would be awesome.
I imagine we'll see her here for ATX TV Fest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If not sooner.
And I think I'm going to be here this year for it. Finally. Yeah.
Sweet. All right, guys. Let's jump over to our listener questions once a week. If you guys like us on Facebook.com/TV Dudes, you can ask us questions about anything. And our first question comes from our landlord, Mr. Mike Moody, head of Permanent Record Podcast Network.
We're not doing that.
He says, okay, real question, guys. Are you guys looking forward to Black Lightning premiering on the CW later this month? I know nothing of the comic book character, but the latest CW teaser makes the show look great. I know a few of you are comic guys, so what do I need to know? Or what comic storylines do you recommend I read before I dive into the show? Thanks.
All right, I'll have the comic stuff. But first, what do you guys think? You looking forward to Black Lightning?
We talking 13 episodes or 22?
That's probably 22.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this.
I put this with all the other CW shows right now. It's not really my bag.
I think I'd be happy if people liked it, but I'm kind of in the camp with Grant. Like, I don't watch a ton of the CW superhero shows.
Yeah. I think Les and I are the ones who are kind of looking forward to it a little bit. And Les more than me, I think, because I'm behind on everything over at the CW, too. But I'm curious to see what they do with him. Black Lightning in comics, to answer Mike's question on that, is he's a longtime character, but he hasn't a lot of, like, great runs. Like, nobody's done a Frank Miller Daredevil run with Black Lightning. His original creator, Tony Isabella, has done some good stuff. Some other people have done some interesting stuff that Tony Isabella hated.
I was going to ask, does he have his own line, Black Lightning?
He has a comic right now that's a miniseries.
Is that because
there's a show coming in?
Yeah.
And they're putting a lot of stuff out in trade. He was in the Outsiders for a long time with Batman. It was part of his super team. He was Lex Luthor's Secretary of Education because he's a social worker. So he's got a weird history of popping up in the DC universe, but he's always been like the guest star or the also ran. So taking him and making him sort of a lead character, I think they're taking some interesting stuff where they're introducing stuff that Jeb Winnick did with his daughters. Like, that was not original stuff, and making him an older superhero coming back out of retirement, making him a school teacher instead of a social worker, or he's been a school teacher in the past, but giving him a sort of a more of a long-term educational, role. I think that it's a good – CW does a good job of taking these characters and making the most interesting versions of them. They did it with Flash. They did it with Supergirl. I'm not going to say they did it with Arrow because Arrow's had better comics. But I don't know if there's any comics I would point you to. Maybe Black Lightning Year One that just came back out. But in general, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do.
While you're spouting off Black Lightning facts,
sure,
it totally feels like you're reading off something, but I can confirm for the listeners. No, you just you have all this information in your head.
It's all in my
head. I find that remarkable.
Remarkable's a word. Sad is another.
That's what I was thinking. Kyle Volte says, "Hey, TV dudes, happy new year," and happy new year to you, Kyle. What resolutions do you wish TV creators would make? Also, how in love are you with Ted Danson in The Good Place?
Very in love.
Like, marry him love, yeah.
Mary Steenburgen in love, although I guess that's not a thing anymore, is it?
Yeah. Too soon. TV creators, hey, Kurt Sutter, I would have you make the resolution that you put story substance over just machismo garbage. How's that?
Yeah. Hey, Greg Berlanti and whoever's running Arrow, no more Ollie and Felicity lying to each other. How about that?
Oh, okay, that's just a very specific plot.
None of that.
Because Kurt Sutter's coming back with the Mayans MC show. Yeah.
And you're going to have to watch every episode.
Oh.
You are.
Hey, every network. I want next season to see some pilots that have an episode 2 with an entirely different cast and an entirely different story premise. Because here's the fact. You're greenlighting too many shitty pilots, all right? If you're going to have shitty shows, at least make us think you're trying to make them better. Like, learn from your pilots.
Fair.
Hey, Marvel, fix your TV.
Please.
Zach McLernan says, so the synopsis for the final season of The Americans has dropped, and it looks like it'll jump forward again to the Gorbachev years and show an increasingly divided KGB and Elizabeth and Philip on opposite sides. With Oleg moving pieces behind the scenes, what are your thoughts, and who do you think will make it out alive or even to the end of the USSR?
I'm a season behind on The Americans. I watched two episodes of the last season. I need to catch up now that it's on Amazon Prime.
Me too.
And but now I find that since it's coming to a close, I really want to catch up on it. I don't know where they are. I don't know exactly where everything is, but I think I would like them to make it out alive. I don't know how likely it is.
I want them to become full on Americans who like go on the run and just witness protection or whatever, or just start a whole new life somewhere else.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't think with all the crimes they've committed, they can do witness protection, but
probably not. But I mean, mobsters get witness protection, so you know,
maybe.
And then they could do Americans, the second version of The Americans, where they're in witness protection and all their old enemies are coming to get them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you don't kill them, the show never ends. So if you want to end your show, you have to kill somebody.
You have to kill them. That's true.
Yeah.
Jonathan Huffnagel says, dear TV dudes, I miss the 90s. Do you miss the 90s? If our favorite TV shows of today had breakfast cereals, what would they be? Breaking Bad with blue meth berries, Game of Thrones with house marshmallows, Silicon Valley Tech Crunch.
For the record, I want all three of those cereals right now.
That's pretty brilliant. Also, what brand TV shows, I wonder, would make odd animated spin-off series for Saturday morning cartoon shows? I still remember the weird Stargate Infinity, which had little to do with either the movie or TV series. So, same rules of in-brand name only can apply to this logic.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the teen years.
Oh man.
Or Always Sunny in Philadelphia Babies.
Oh.
There you go.
I mean, Watchmen hasn't come out yet, but Watchmen Babies would still be hilarious.
Yes, yes it would.
Or we could do Tiny Good Place Adventures.
Let's see. Other animated spinoffs. I'm trying to think
of cereals.
Or cereals. I'm trying to think of the shows that I watch. I feel like Westworld cereal, there could be something for Westworld cereals. Maybe it's like Wagon Wheels and Ennui
Robots.
You could do like a David Simon cereal that's just like Pimpin' Crunch. It just tastes like Captain Crunch, and that's it.
And the box is full of educational details about the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. STD.
You have to read, and you have to read the box and figure out a code before you can open the box.
The deuce comes with like a. Condoms and like that's your toy prize.
That's the prize. They are wrapped. They can go inside cereal.
But I wouldn't trust them.
Look, dude. Mom, we got balloons.
All right, last question comes to us from Nick Ties, who says, hey dudes, the Psych movie turned out kind of disappointing. Do you guys know of any TV movies that actually paid off in a satisfying way?
First off, they should have known the Psych movie is gonna be disappointed because aren't they psychic?
Yeah.
Second of all, TV movies that paid off. Man, I don't know.
Oh, I think there's a... Well, does Serenity count?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an actual movie, but that's the best example of it.
Yeah, that's probably... I can't think of one that gets better than that.
I don't see any reason why we would have to work harder than that. That was great.
Yeah.
I really liked the Brady Bunch Christmas episode, though. Or like because it was kind of like a mini movie.
Brady Bunch did have movies that finished out, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
The movies that were in the movies, but like they did some like movie-length episodes.
Yeah,
so
But Kyle, you already said Serenity.
Kyle's got it.
Well,
Serenity,
that's
Brady
the
Bunch.
Best one, but...
That's the one.
So there's some big news this week, guys. Notably, okay, Brian Fuller, who left American Gods and left Star Trek Discovery and is kind of always moving on to other stuff, has announced that he's going to team up with Anne Rice for a Vampire Chronicles TV show.
Hmm.
Ugh. Do I? Am I the only one who doesn't care about Anne Rice and the Victorian era romanticized vampire thing?
You are not the only one, because I heard this and I was like, ugh.
Like, Brian Fuller, you're better than this.
But
why are you doing adaptations of other people's stuff? Do your own original stuff again.
Here's the thing. Apparently, he's wanted to do this since he was a teenager. So he's like a fan of the books.
Ugh.
So that's what got him in.
And I'm sure he'll make it good.
It's still Brian Fuller. Like, whatever it is, I'll watch it. But yeah, I had the same exact reaction, which was, God, why? He left American Gods.
Give
he
me left Pushing Discovery. Daisies again.
Yeah. Boom. Give me the Pushing Daisies. Like, this is the last thing I want him doing.
Yeah.
But it's still Brian Fuller. I'm still going to watch it.
Okay, fair.
All right. USS Callister star Jimmy Simpson would love a Black Mirror spinoff.
Which is funny because his character died, I think, in the episode.
Well, technically they...
Randy.
Technically, they all died.
This is a professional show. Mute your laptop, sir.
I think the blame belongs to whoever put linked me to all these Screen Rant stories.
Hey, as long as I made a joke about your audio going off, I don't have to edit it. So,
so yeah, they all died in that, right? Or did he? No, he. That's right. He sacrifices himself.
Yeah,
spoilers.
But maybe he could be like the talking ship or something. He could just do voiceover.
Sure.
Anyway, when I watched that, I totally wanted a spinoff. So
what would you? There was all this talk about the spinoff. What would you do in a spinoff? Would it all be like the USS Callister having adventures, like Orville style?
It would be kind of like Orville or Star Trek, except
better.
No, except that they're also operating within the system where there are online trolls who can interact with them.
You want Aaron Paul as a regular?
Like, I think there's like there would be like these game, like computer generated kind of enemies that they occasionally have to face off against, and they still explore new worlds, figure out how to fuel their ship, whatever, eat and all that. But yeah, they also have this added threat of of real humans who don't think they're real.
Yeah, I'm not super psyched for this. I'm definitely more excited than I am for another Vampire Chronicles story, but I'm curious. If they do it, I'll watch it.
This is simply Jimmy Simpson saying, "Yeah, sure, that'd be fun."
The funny thing is, he has a regular gig. He's kind of a big deal over on Westworld.
Is he still around?
But yeah. Do you think they'll bring him back for next season?
That's right. They might not.
Westworld spoilers, guys.
That's right. They might not.
Yeah.
So he needs a regular gig.
He didn't die, but that's a spoiler.
That guy's hurting for a job.
He can't be a McPoyle anymore. Always Sunny's delayed.
I'm pretty sure Breakout Kings doesn't exist anymore.
God, I forgot about Breakout Kings.
Jimmy Simpson, no. I didn't forget.
Snowpiercer has been ordered as a TV show by TNT.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because I really liked that movie.
It was a fun movie.
It's a series of graphic novels, so there's definitely more story there.
Our buddy Rubio hated that movie.
I know a few people who hated them, including Rubio, but yeah, I know some friends who hated it. I don't understand hate. I understand if it wasn't your thing, but I don't know why it would be so anger-inducing. I loved it.
What I think is interesting is that Scott Derrickson, who directed Doctor Strange, is going to be filming the pilot for this.
Yep.
And that got me wondering, like, oh, I wonder if he's going to be working with our buddy, his longtime collab friend, Cargill, who might be writing on there.
Interesting.
In which case, I'm going to be sending some spec scripts over to Cargill to get me a writing gig on a TV show. Anyway, pipe dream.
Yeah.
My office spec script.
All right.
you worked this in?
I've got two Hulu stories.
Okay.
One is that Hulu has ordered a horror anthology series from Blumhouse TV. Blumhouse are the guys who do a lot of horror movies.
Hey, Scott Derrickson works with them too.
Yeah. They did Get Out. They did Split. They've done numerous other movies that are not listed in this article I'm looking at.
Sinister.
Did they do the ABC's of Death? Do you guys remember?
It's possible.
That little horror miniseries anthology thing that was badass.
I don't know.
ABC's of Death. Look it up, listeners.
This is set to debut its first episode in October, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be competing with CBS's Twilight Zone, probably. But we get a little horror renaissance going on TV again.
I'm not big into horror though.
Oh,
Horror Story.
I like anthologies though. I like
Are you watching American Horror Story?
No.
That's both. That's horror and anthology.
That's not the kind of anthology I'm talking about, though. That's I like the anthology show that's like every episode is a different story. You know, like short story format.
Good horror TV show, The Walking Dead.
That's no. No. Nope.
I'm still in there, guys. I'm still watching.
It's our man on the inside. Still fighting the zombies.
You want to know what Negan's doing? I know.
Drop it. But I'm excited by this. I also like to see Hulu buffing up their content because they're getting some good stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
they got season 2 of 2 great series. I'm getting early. Future Man, which we all loved, got a season 2.
Awesome.
Which I'm curious what that means, because are they going to do a completely new story? Is it still going to be like, is it going to be Josh and all those guys? I don't know.
I mean, where it ended, like they're all, those two are still in the past with him. And
yeah.
They have that technology. So.
Yeah, that's true. And then also Runaways is getting a season 2. Now that they've finally run away.
I'm not opposed to this. I think there's some... We're going to discuss Runaways.
We're going to discuss Runaways. We're going to talk about how great it is.
Obviously, I'm coming down on the negative side.
And finally, I was going to close with that as a lead-in to our story, to our discussion, to the Grant goes head-to-head with Randy on Runaways. But Grant informed me, no, there's an important story...
One more you have to
...that
include.
I had to include... Screen Rant says Marvel's Inhumans hasn't been officially canceled (parentheses) yet.
And I would like to remind you, the listening audience, mm-hmm. that Randy made a certain promise 2 episodes ago, or maybe it was last episode. I think it was last episode.
I don't really remember this promise. I was pretty drunk.
We recorded it.
If Inhumans does not get canceled, you will watch and review every single episode.
That sounds like the kind of thing I might have said.
Yeah. So
it sounds familiar.
I'm hoping it doesn't actually get canceled.
I am hoping so very much that it gets canceled. I mean, previously I just didn't care one way or the other. Now I'm actively hoping for its death.
A promise is a promise, right?
I understand.
So we had a plan here to discuss our comedies first and then jump over into our dramas, but Randy was a little bit impatient. He really just wants to get our after-school brawl over with.
I want to get this Runaways dust up off. I don't like when there's conflict in the room. It throws off our feng shui.
You don't like the tension. So
I don't like the tension.
Runaways just concluded its 10-episode first season on Hulu, and I was loving this show through episode 7. I thought it was actually really solid writing. I like the character development. There are some little problems I had here or there. Mm-hmm. But I would say right around episode 8, 9, 10, the writing took a shift. And I thought the quality dropped. Everything got a little bit absurd. And I just stopped liking the show.
That's interesting because I've been watching this episodes weekly. Like, I've been really enjoying this show, and I didn't notice a notable shift in the episodes. There was nothing where I'm really curious to hear what it was that sort of put you off, because whatever it was flew by me.
Okay, so first off, I think the episode 8 is when they have what's his name, the evil mean dad, get shot. Mean scientist dad.
Yeah, Victor Stein.
Victor Stein, Spike. Yep. So he gets shot, and suddenly what could have been a realistic scene between all of the parents actually having to grapple with this relationship they have with this guy and a reticence to want to do anything to save him, but at the same time knowing that their children's life is on the line if they fail to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they get really squabbly and petty, and it becomes... like, the tone is shifting back and forth between them, like, making jokes and trying to toss each other into the ring. Like, you sacrifice your life. You're, like, to the point where lives don't even seem to matter. And it's just like, oh, I'm not the one who has – I don't want to have to be the one who eats the gross food we found underneath the dumpster or something. Like, it wasn't even like a matter of life and death. It just seemed tonally off, the whole thing.
That's interesting. I think part of what was changed, part of what changed that view for me is that we were already off script for me. Like, the when Victor Stein gets shot, that was a big thing because that does not happen in the comics. Like, I was like, whoa. And then they're all arguing about who's going to die to bring him back. And I'm like, I don't know where this is going. So I was really enthralled because I had no idea where the story was going. I don't disagree with you that you're right, that the squabbling became a little silly and that scene could have been done better. But it wasn't a huge turn for me. Like, it didn't completely turn me off the show.
I felt like up until that point, the show has done a pretty good job of managing a teen drama that has a lot of soap opera elements. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a superhero show, sure,
yeah.
But it's a soap opera teen drama without it coming across as juvenile. And once it kind of hit that scene, everything started to skew to sloppy writing and shortcuts for a lot of characters. The time that certain scenes were taking. Here's another issue I have.
Okay.
Gertz suddenly has the most profound relationship with her dinosaur over. How much time do you think really passed between them?
That's fair.
Was that like 2 days, 3 days
yeah.
or something? And she's like, I can't say goodbye to this dinosaur who I'm just now giving a name to. I'm like, don't act like this was some earned relationship to us, the audience. It most certainly has not been.
This is interesting. Again, I think it comes down to the comics. I am hugely invested in Gert and Old Lace. Because I know what that relationship is from the comics.
Why did they take the Gertz character, who I've really liked up until this point, and they relegate her to being hysterical about the having just had sex with Chase, and she needs to define what their relationship is after this? During the situation where they're desperately trying to quote unquote save the world.
That was a bad scene.
That was
a bad scene.
It's bad for him. It's bad for all of us that might have tried to invest in that relationship.
Yeah.
There was no call for it, and it's just insulting when they do that. But they do that consistently with all the characters.
On the other hand,
Glowgirl smiling the whole time when they do that cornball face off against evil Jacob, dude. Like, she's all happy because she's glowing, but I'm like, wait, are you guys fighting against, like, to save your lives? Or, are you, like, is it, like, cool because you have a cool glow trick?
I think that's two things. One is, I think when she has her power, she gets a sort of a euphoria kind of effect from it. I think that's what's going on with that.
She doesn't have to smile, though, but situationally.
I think that's what it is. I don't think that she's – I think it's almost like she's on drugs when she has that power going. Like, she's floating a little bit
and
physically and mentally.
And they also have time for a huddle while they're facing off.
And the,
like,
other, and
hey,
the other thing –
you guys run and I'll distract.
The other thing is – the other thing is that I think they're – and you're right, it's clumsily done. But I think they're trying to point out that she's like the optimist happy one in this whole group. And so she's kind of enjoying having her powers.
No.
Also,
no.
Gert,
there's no excuse
that was Gert's first time. So she's having a traumatic relationship. She's going to have a strange reaction to it. That's a big thing in a girl's life. Also, Old Lace has a mental link with Gert. They haven't gone into it in the show too much, but the reason she's so attached to it is they have sort of a psychic link to each other. Now, I will not debate.
They have not gone into that.
They could have done a better job with it. I do think that they wound up, for all that they sort of stretched the first seven episodes, they did rush through 8 through 10. Like, we definitely rushed through some reveals. Like, the big reveal of who killed Amy and why was so rushed I had to watch it twice to really get it.
Wait, who's Amy?
Nico's sister.
Oh.
That's a big reveal. That's since episode one, and they really kind of rushed through it, I thought.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that I think they rushed through because they wanted to get to the big runaway scene. They wanted to get the actual premise of the show.
The literal runaways
yes.
scene where they slow-mo run down an alley.
I liked that.
Made me want to vomit.
I liked that. I liked that.
I mean...
You and I have different levels of acceptability of superhero cheese.
Like, corny ass scenes, they have that. Like, all of them acted so, like, idiotic, inconsistently idiotic, too. And I'm like, why are you as a group going and doing that and this. And,
they're like, dumb teenagers, Grant. They're dumb teenagers.
It's dumb writing, Randy. the writing suddenly seemed like heroes.
So I'll point this out, that Quentin Peoples wrote the final episode. He also wrote episode 7. So he's not a guy who came in all of a sudden and ruined everything. I was looking at the writers to see, like, did they bring in a bunch of new writers? And there are different writers on episodes 8 and 9.
What was the deal with the drill being on a school ground that they were funding a project to build?
The school ground was clearly covered. Now, this, by the way, is TV stuff. It is not in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So as I understand it, basically, they're trying to drill down into something for what's his name? Noah?
Jacob.
No, Jacob's not his name.
Isn't it Jacob?
That's Lost you're thinking of. Okay. Always.
I've been
always
calling him Lost. Jacob. I don't know.
It's not Jacob. Jonah.
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 Yeah.
Jonah, who's clearly an alien and has some kind of weird agenda. I think they're digging for something he's looking for, and that the whole school thing is a cover. Like, it's just a cover to have that
sure. Set. But they also justified this whole thing with building a gigantic drill.
Yeah.
In the site, and no one knows what's going on.
Nobody knows what construction equipment looks like.
Okay. I don't. There's just so much that seemed over the top.
I don't know. None of this seemed particularly out of place with what they've done previously. I didn't think there was a huge change in the tone of the Runaways.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see what they do with the second season, but it just got really bad.
I really enjoyed them all coming. Cheesy though it was, and it was.
It went from Friday Night Lights to like a CW show.
I would never thought this was Friday Night Lights. I thought this was always in that CW vein.
Okay, fair.
And so I think that when they all get together and, you know, show up against their parents, and old lace shows up and they all are showing off their powers the first time, it's a cheesy face-off moment, but I was very happy to see that, because that was all the promise of the comic being realized. So I was pretty happy with that.
Handled poorly, directed poorly. I blame the director and I blame the writers.
All right, you men have fought for my viewing eyes.
Yes, uh-huh.
Would you like to know who has prevailed?
Yes, who is the victor?
I'm definitely going to watch this show. Hearing you dislike it, Grant, makes me want to watch this show more.
I wasn't trying to dissuade you from watching it. I just really liked what they built up in the first 6 or 7, and then it just seemed to take this downturn and became kind of a show that's like embarrassing to watch for me. Huh. When I'm like,
huh.
Ugh, why do you have the characters doing that? Oh, why'd you write in that scene? This wholly feels unnecessary and corny, and I can't abide corniness.
Cheesy face-off moment. I'm down.
Okay, well, let's jump over to some more intentional comedies.
X-Files.
First off, The Mick over on Fox is back for its second half of its second season.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy, you selected this show in particular for this episode because
we haven't talked about it in a while. We haven't talked a bunch of season 2.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit when it first came out, and I saw it was coming back, and I wanted to check in on it. And so I had to catch up. I had seen like 2 or 3 episodes, and so I went and burned through, I guess it's like 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went and burned through
episode 11.
10 and then watched episode 11. How much did you guys watch of this? Anything?
I watched a little bit of the beginning. I now realize that Jimmy's been kicked out or left or something happened to Jimmy.
I saw, was it Kelly from 90210?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The actress playing herself. So basically, great. Season 1 ended with them setting fire to the little kid who's their Dewey, basically.
Yeah.
Set fire to their house.
Yeah. Ben.
And Ben, yes. And so they start from the hotel. And then I had lost track of it, but apparently around episode 3 or 4, they basically wind up going to their grandparents' house and moving in with the colonel or whatever.
That's who that old dude.
Yeah. And so now they have a house again. And so they sort of found a way to reboot that. But they also stopped into the prison to visit with their parents.
Oh.
And oh, man, the prison had some dark stuff. So Ben immediately, of course, gets loose by himself in the prison and wanders in and winds up playing dice and getting a tattoo with a bunch of cellmates. Meanwhile, Jimmy takes Chip to go see their dad, who has had all his teeth knocked out because his cellmate says he doesn't need them anymore.
Oh.
And his cellmate comes by. You think they're just leaving it at that. And then his cellmate comes by and, like, kisses him on the ear and tells him he'll see him later. And we actually see that clearly he has been made a cell bitch. And that plays hilariously into what goes on with Ben. There's just a really funny bit with that. And then Sabrina and Mickey go out and talk to their mom, and that winds up with a big old brawl. And that prison episode was fantastic.
Jeez.
It was so good.
So the most recent episode is when what's Sabrina?
Sabrina,
yes. Has her Yale interview, uh-huh. And so she's trying to avoid it because, yeah, no, that's just in her character. Sure. And she does LSD.
She does LSD. And then Mickey does too to help her.
Yeah.
Somehow. And the two of them tripping through the school was hilarious.
It was really good.
Also, they bring in Flula Borg, who's a German comedian, to play the German teacher, and that was super funny. Yeah.
I like it. She's like, they're aliens.
That was really, really funny. I just really like this show. I think Alba, their former housekeeper, who's gone a little wild since they sort of, she's become part of the family.
Yeah.
That's been really funny.
It has such a, and it's always sunny humor to it.
Does.
It just carries through in all of them being just like selfish degenerates.
Yeah.
And I'm very impressed for a network show how well it carries it.
It also feels a little bit like, you know, the Married with Children kind of thing. I was trying to think, there's another show I was going to compare it to, but the rich people behaving badly, Arrested Development a little bit too.
Yeah.
Like, it's got all of those elements to it. And I mean, we've known since Always Sunny that Caitlin Olsen was great, but they've surrounded her with some great people and also young actors. Oh, Malcolm in the Middle. That's the other thing. Ben is such a Malcolm in the Middle type. They've definitely managed to find the young actors that work here and can be funny and not feel like they're underacting or overacting.
Definitely. I love this show.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And we don't talk about it a lot, but it's definitely it's on my favorite comedies list.
All right. Well, let's jump over to L.A. to Vegas on Fox. This has two episodes out. Brand new comedy that takes place on a plane that's constantly running between LA and Vegas, and the stewardess and pilot and the wacky gamblers who go there every weekend to go gamble all their money away, and they're all degenerates. And is this funny?
How the fuck did this get greenlit? How did anyone go into an office and say, this, we're gonna do a show that every week it's on a plane and it's about the stewardesses and the pilot and these wacky characters who fly, and it's all going to be on a one set on the plane. How the fuck did this get greenlit?
I mean, I feel like you hate this a lot more than I do.
I hated this show.
I hated it kind of too. It was really bad, if you ask me.
It was terrible.
I did not necessarily find it all that funny, but I could see glimmers of where it's going in a better direction. I kind of like the guy who's playing the pilot.
Dylan McDermott.
Yeah. I like his character and how he's delivering lines, how he's embracing that absurd, like,
just he's playing over the top. He's playing a different, he is a bright light in the show in terms of, like, at least he's doing something, but I find him goofy and stupid.
The Russian dude who's playing the gambler,
Peter Stormare, what is he doing here? Peter
Stormare,
it's weird that you don't need this.
You don't do this. Why are you doing this?
But it's Peter Stormare, so, like, anytime he's on, I'm like, okay.
Aren't they making a Bad Boys 3? You got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I fell in the camp of, like, this isn't starting out that great, but it's not so terrible that I can't see this becoming something good in a few episodes. I mean, it should have been great right off the bat.
Should it have?
Like, no, like, I mean, if they wanted to launch a show, they should have had a show that was solid.
Let me ask you
this.
Do you like soap operas?
No.
Bold and the Beautiful?
Not that much.
You know this main actress we have here? That's where she comes from.
Oh.
Character on the Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel like her performance, for starters, the show begins and, you know, it focuses on her for, like, the first, you know, handful of beats on the show.
Yeah.
So I go to the IMDb and I'm, like, trying to find her, and she's not even top billed on the IMDb page.
Yep.
But yeah, once you get down to it, like, I feel like she's given stuff that could be funny if it was put in somebody else's hands, but she's just kind of one note.
I didn't necessarily have a problem with her. I think that the writing is weird because it wants her to be reckless and out of control and just irrational, but it also is leaning on her to be the voice of reason, and that's like an unfair character that they're trying to develop there. I'm like, who are you trying to have us believe she was in the very beginning when she's just like drunk and forgetting everything and coming out of that cab and like rushing and cutting in front of people, but then she's the person everyone turns to solve all of their problems.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, okay.
I think there's a version of this would work where these are the lovable losers who can't get off this route. And every episode is about different people going from LA to Vegas, and it's like you bring in guest stars Love Boat style, and it's that's what they're doing. Let some comedy actors. No, they're not. It's Peter Stormare and the stripper every week. And the
do you watch the second episode?
I watched the first 20. I watched the first like 15 minutes.
I think they intend to bring in other people.
Do they? Because it still feels like I just feel weird that they have all these continuing. Like I don't give a shit about the relationship between her and the British guy who's flying.
I just don't like that actor, the British dude that they keep trying to convince me he has anything about him that's remotely attractive.
That
could be your villain.
That
like,
actor,
make him the bad guy.
That actor could be John Hamm, and it wouldn't be any more interesting.
No, it would be John Hamm.
John Hamm's hilarious. He could not save this role. I don't understand how this show got made. I don't get it. I understand that comedies can take place, like Cheers takes place in a bar for 9 seasons. I understand how a one set thing can work, but on the flight from LA to Vegas, man, I don't see anyone who could have made this funny isn't Mike Schur.
Yeah, well. I'm kind of in the – I don't want to watch another episode. I'll say that. But I could see a glimmer of hope in this.
Oh, I was angry that they wasted perfectly good people on this show.
We've watched so many other comedies that are like just so god-awful that I get angry.
I know.
This was not even in that camp. It's just – that's kind of disappointing, and it could have been better.
It was better than most of what TBS has put out.
Whoa.
It kind of felt like that, though.
Let's move over to arguably the best comedy on TV. Definitely the best comedy on TV right now.
I will fight you if you have another option. This is the best comedy on TV.
The Good Place over on NBC is back for the second part of its second season as well.
So good.
Ow, ow.
And this episode has the like everything's kind of falling apart again. Like I'm amazed. That they're already jumping to the point where they're shutting down the entire system. They destroyed The Good Place because Ted Danson's boss decided that he's done such a great job, he's going to promote him and he's going to tear everything down. And how they set this up with a system that has Ted Danson leaving clues for them so that they, if they recognize this, then he's going to help save them.
This show
is amazing.
These showrunners, they have zero chill. Like they're not saving anything. They just kind of go like, you could have gone a long time with Michael pretending, you know, to work with them and learning ethics and all that. Instead, they spent a couple episodes on that, and then it all gets blown up, and now they have to figure out whether Michael's working with them or not. Like it was. It's
well,
so
and that's
good.
What a lesser show, that's what they would do. We'd have a whole other season where it's just them working with Michael, and then we get to the end and, he'd turn and he'd be bad again or something.
And it'd be funny. It'd probably be funny.
Yeah, but they don't do that. They're like, oh, no, we don't need that. If this was our last episode, what would we do?
It is so uncharacteristic to watch a comedy and not know what they're going to do next week.
Yeah.
Like with comedies rely on a structure of familiarity and reliability, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you have your situational comedy located in this place, and it's going to be like that at week to week. And you have this cast of characters. We have this cast of characters.
Yeah.
Sure. But they are destroying our location. They're destroying the premise over and over and over again. They are making us question everyone's relationship to each other and
constantly. And not only do they have the story stuff where we're like, what's going to happen to the story? So that's interesting. You're also watching a show that's hilariously funny on a regular basis. Like I laugh out loud at this show all the time.
So the episode we just saw That they just came back from. They're like, maybe by the time we release this, they've already aired the second episode of part two of the season.
Right.
But I'm still wondering, like, what did they do?
I don't know.
Like, they hid under the train tracks.
Yeah.
And they are stuck in the quote-unquote good place because everyone ran to the medium place to try and find them.
Yep.
So what? They can't just hide out there.
Nope. There's got to be a plan. By the way,
and they have Janet.
I love that part where she's like, here's a couple duffel bags of cocaine and a sex robot.
Yes. Good old Derek.
Good old Derek, man.
There's a wind chime down there.
That guy's the best.
We'll make it work.
And also, I think that it's interesting that like they do a little bit like the introduction to the notion of that a roast is like this is what demons create as a good time. And that they use the roast. It's funny, it's cruel, and it's also full of like clues. Like, that's just really good writing.
When Michael's like, actually, I left you like 7,000 clues. I figured you guys are dumb enough. You weren't going to get all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an evolution of what they did on Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where they're constantly destroying the premise. Like, Parks and Rec was all about, you know, Leslie eventually moving up the political chain and all that kind of stuff and the relationships. Like, they were always messing with stuff.
But that was slow.
And like, April and Andy getting married and all that kind of stuff, like, they would jump ahead to things that most shows would drag out forever. And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they always do like a big thing at the end of the season where somebody goes undercover or, you know, Holt and Jake go into witness protection. They like to upset the apple cart, but on a scale that is nowhere near the scale they're doing here. So it feels like they keep scaling up.
Given how fast they're going, I imagine we're moving. It seems like a show that's desperate to get all the plot they can while they are not sure they're going to get renewed. And I mean, I'm wondering how soon we're going to see a good place.
We've already got a season three renewal, right?
We do. So, but they wrote a lot of this before they knew that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they're anticipating, you know, they might not get a season four if they even get it now that they got the season three.
You know, I feel like British shows do this all the time where it's like two seasons, three seasons, and out.
Yeah.
And it works fine for them. Some of my favorite shows are two or three season shows.
Well, and I'm for this. I love the idea of write your show as if it's going to end. You can always find more story. Like Kyle said earlier, unless everybody dies, you're going to be able to do the story. And in this one, everybody's already dead.
So I'm wondering, like, if we see a good place, do you guys think that the good place looks like the version that Michael modeled to some degree?
No, it's going to look nothing like any. They're going to be something very strange in their good place.
It would be really funny if they get to the good place and they find that because they aren't good, the good place is kind of like the bad place to them.
Yeah, it's just terrible. It's,
like, they don't even enjoy it anyways.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But, like, I was wondering, like, would Michael and the other demons just model their version of the good place off of what the good place is, but like with twists and tricks and yogurt shops and
I feel like it's gonna. I feel like it's gonna be something else weirder. It's gonna be like the traditional heaven, but kind of boring. Or I don't know what they'll do with it, but I think they'll do something completely different with it.
Oh, you know, they could just legitimately sneak into heaven, and then they're all like hiding out in the good place,
just like Shellstrop, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She thought she was sneaking in. She was the one who was hiding out. Now all of them are hiding out up there. For real? Okay. That's pretty good.
I don't know.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's amazing.
Yep.
All right. Let's jump over to X-Files because this has returned for its 11th season.
Also a pretty good comedy, as it turns out. This was terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It's funny you mentioned the thing about the comedy because the piece of hope is that episode they did last season, which I guess was like 2 years ago.
Darren Morgan's episode, the one that had the Rhys Darby as the lizard man dude.
Which it was kind of a comedy.
Rhys Darby?
That was Rhys Darby.
And it wasn't good?
It was good.
It was the only good episode of the season.
Well, that's the thing. X-Files was at its best. We all remember it as like, oh, the conspiracy episodes, and we all want to, you know, how we find out who the Smoking Man was and what the government conspiracy was and what do they know about aliens. And looking back, that stuff was pretty garbagey. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense, and it doesn't hold together well. What holds together are the single episodes that are either creepy, scary,
or funny type stuff.
And so I was hoping that they might come back and do more of that. Instead, Chris Carter, with who knows how much more years of pot smoking brain, possibly surfer brain, has just doubled down on the weirdness and the not following through on stories. He didn't learn his lesson from, you know, looking at all the serialized TV we have right now, and instead is just making these crazy stories where Scully has to act like an idiot to not believe in the supernatural. And it's all focused on like Mulder and Scully's kid. And it's still the same conflicts. Like, can we trust Skinner? What's the cigarette smoking man up to? I'm like, guys, you've been doing this for 20 years. You're so bad at this.
I can't believe you even followed that much of the story. Like, I was constantly being lost. For starters, and we're just going to get into spoiler territory, the last season ends with a UFO floating above them as they are in a traffic jam on a bridge, and the whole beam me up scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This season starts, we get like a brief flashback of that, and they're just in like a totally other situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's nobody says anything about it.
There's a plague that's been unleashed because the cigarette smoking man's going to kill off most of the population for Colin. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
How are you following this? Yeah, it's just so disjointed.
Also, I don't know what show Chris Carter thinks he's making, but this is not 24. I don't know why there were three goddamn car chases in an hour-long episode of X-Files.
I noticed that, too.
And
it's like
heavy product placement. Like,
I got to go to the grocery store.
Yeah. You know what? I drive a Mustang. I love my Mustang. I don't need Fox Mulder to drive a fucking Mustang. That is not right.
I also found a little strange.
Fox Mulder should be driving an old beat-up car.
But it's literally like, I got to go. Like, him talking on a cell phone, mm-hmm. him in a really mundane car chase.
Yeah.
He gets somewhere. Nobody's here. I'm going to talk on my cell phone some more. Then he's going to get in his car, going to car chase somewhere else.
It's like, what if 24 had aliens and made less sense? This was terrible.
But we still haven't gotten any good aliens, which
no.
That's
also,
all we want.
They have all these weird, like, they have a dude who's like this bad guy. He's working with Cigarette Smoking Man. He's like his burly protector. And I'm like, you couldn't have used like an alien bounty hunter or something to make that cool. Instead, it's just some dude.
Yeah.
The tools to make X-Files cool are there, but they need to be taken out of their creator's hands and given to someone who knows what to do with them.
And I can tell you, David Duchovny don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. No, that guy's
like,
not care.
I'm getting paid. What do you want me to say? Sure. Yep. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch this show.
It's terrible. Don't watch it.
But a show I do watch and I talk weekly about is Star Trek Discovery, which just came back for Chapter 2 of Season 1.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
I already talked about this. What did you guys think?
So, first of all, I want to give another shout out to the Star Trek Discovery pod on Permanent Record.
Yeah.
I listen to that episode. I listen to that every week on Monday. I'm always excited to hear what you guys had to say. And the crazy thing is, I thought the Vok 3 was insane. I thought the Vok theory was coming out of Grant, who had never seen Star Trek, and knew the technology didn't work that like that in Star Trek. They don't do body modification, all that kind of stuff. I thought that was crazy.
I didn't originally come up with the Vok theory.
But you were championing it. I thought you were nuts. Yeah. And as it became clear that that was true, now it all seems possible. So every theory you guys throw out now, I'm like, my first reaction is like, that sounds crazy. I'm like, it's probably true.
So where do we lie on that? Because I'm not caught up on Star Trek Discovery Pod. We found out in this episode that the bones were crushed. So are we thinking maybe those aren't his bones?
No, I think they basically modified Vok to make him Ash. And then they put the Ash personality on top. That
so
seems
really
like, because they said he couldn't find an underlay using the, what they call it, the Manchurian test, which I loved. That was a great reference.
But there's scarring over every single organ of his to the point where I'm like, okay, so they did turn Vok into this other guy and then overlaid an Ash personality.
Yeah, they turned a Klingon into a human and then put a human personality on top of him. But the human still thinks he's there. It's not supposed to be real.
Which is why he has super strength and breaks necks.
Oh, man. When they did that?
What?
I did not see that coming.
Oh, did you see the episode?
No.
I've seen it.
Oh, okay, you did.
Yeah.
I was watching it, and I yelled no at my TV. I was so shocked and so distraught.
So Shannon did that exact same thing, and just a moment later I said, we got multi-universes now. You're good. He's going to be back next episode.
Oh, man. I was like, no.
But it goes to
such
that
great moment.
Very disappointing trend, the trope called bury the gays.
Yes.
In which any gay character you can't have for too long because you have to kill them off. They're always expendable.
But one of the showrunners who's gay addressed that and said, we're not doing that.
But they did it, and anyone who's not also actively following or going to stay tuned for the next episode to get an answer is left once again seeing the gay characters who actually had a very well-developed relationship with each other. One of them die like that, and it's...
You know, I understand the resistance to that, but I think that in this case, for one thing, like I say, I think he's got cover because the showrunner is openly gay. He does not have an anti-gay agenda. And also the actor is gay. Like there is, they are not just, but I think that he made a good point in the post show interview where he talked about, you have to be able to, you can't have these characters protected in a way where you can't go places with them. And that moment led up very, very realistically. Like the doctor was trying to explain a thing. He was getting close to something dangerous. He told the wrong person. Like I thought that moment made a lot of sense.
I think maybe that information you have and, you know, knowing the person you're I did have to suspend disbelief to think that, oh, I would tell this. Like, I wouldn't go, hey, Grant, did you know that you have a thing in your head that's going to make you want to kill me? Like, you know, if you think about it too much, you might want to kill me. So don't kill me or anything. What are you doing? Did you hear what I said?
I see the reaction, the backlash to it, and I think to a certain extent it's still warranted because they went into they don't paint themselves into a corner and that's the only plot point they need to go in that direction.
Right.
And if there was, there's other ways to handle and manage it even within the same episode.
Yeah.
If they wanted to also kind of have that safety net, it's just it is a tired and sad trope that continues to happen, and until next week, we don't know how they might remedy that.
But let's be for real. He's coming back, right? The actor?
Yeah. We already
like
know he is.
A multiverse version of himself.
Either the Mirror Universe version or something else. But the thing is, and I don't disagree with you.
But
it kills
that relationship if he doesn't come back.
Maybe. Sure, yeah. Right? We don't know exactly what's going to go
true.
On.
True. We don't know.
Well, there was also the doctor on the other ship who now he could be alive in this universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my complaint is only informed by precedent.
Yeah. But the thing for me and the thing that makes it where it didn't give a prop, where I wasn't thinking about it at any rate, was that I was so in that moment. Like, I remember that moment. Like, it like got me.
Mm.
And for a show to grab me in that way, I'll forgive a lot. And so I was willing to forgive that scene because it did get that visceral reaction out of me that I did not see it coming at all. And that's always a kind of a cool thing. Also, can we talk about how awesome the Mirror Universe is?
It's not sustainable, though, right?
It's not supposed to be sustainable.
My understanding...
You guys are talking about crazy theories that they're going to stay in there and jump around universes and... It could be true because crazy things happen.
First off, let me just say, I agree. The Mirror Universe is awesome. But in a show, for me, in a show that seems so bound by its scientific principles, it wants things to kind of happen in a practical manner. To have an alternate reality where all of the same people who are operating in a lot more of a selfish and ruthless fashion would still be the same individuals who rise to power as one that has these altruistic ideals, that those same people would cross paths in the same way. None of that is in any way believable to me.
But they're not crossing paths in the same way.
World where there's evil and that is prized to be that ruthless, even their parents wouldn't be the same people that would breed with each other. All the relationships would come into question in this other universe, right?
I feel like you would have infinite variations.
Yes, that's
it. And the point that they made is that this discovery switched places with the discovery here. So in those infinite variations, to find one where there would be another discovery, I think that already is the basis for like a lot of coincidence to happen.
Yeah,
where
that's multiverse theories, that there's that every possibility exists in the multiverse. And so they found the one that happens to happen.
This is the closest evil mirror verse.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe there's a version of this universe where those people didn't meet. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm good with that. Also, I mean, that you don't really want to do a story where it's like, here's the discovery, but there's 20 different evil characters we have to introduce you to in our 1 hour episode. You know, there's some writing convenience that has to go into it.
It's just weird to me in a show that just seems so particular about that being their badge of pride, right? Like, We love the scientific pursuit and the aspects that we want this to be, at least in some way, within the realm of your proper suspension of disbelief.
This is a show that introduced a drive run on space mushrooms powered by a space water bear. They're not super into the scientific realism. They're just
I don't know. I thought they had a better explanation for that than this Mirrorverse.
They're just more realistic than previous Star Trek.
Yeah, but they're borrowing after an actual scientist, and they're just being a little bit flexible with some playful theories. I don't know.
I don't know.
You're right.
I feel like at this point, the buy-in is not that hard.
Quick question. Did I catch an Easter egg or did I miss an Easter egg? The ship they're looking for, is that
the Defiant?
The Defiant. Is that from another series?
Yes, although it is not the one from the DS9, which was called the Defiant, which is a like combat class vessel. This harkens back to the original Star Trek, I understand. And they talked about this on the Discovery Pod. I think you guys mentioned this.
Although some people, a lot of listeners dinged us for this because I guess even so... Either they didn't listen to all of what we had to say on it, because, I think we did say something about the DS9, but the original series talks about it in a couple episodes.
Mike or Clyde misidentified it as the Defiant from DS9
but then
somehow.
But then you guys talked about this is
a Constitution class. This is the same as the Enterprise. It's just called the Defiant. But that seems to have been something. It might have been in DS9 at some point. I don't know. I didn't watch it that much. But
there's also apparently an episode of Enterprise that mentions this as well. But there's two episodes, Mirror, and I don't remember what the other one's called, in season 2 and season 3 of the original series that both kind of address the Defiant.
Yeah.
And it's Captain who disappear at some point.
I think that's all a nod back to that. The original series seems more likely. But but since the Defiant was such a big defining thing in DS9, you can understand where people would jump to is that an Easter egg for that.
That would be so cool if our Discovery crew makes their way back to their universe without switching places with Discovery.
Yeah.
Evil Discovery.
There's no way we're not going to see the Discovery. We've got to see both Discoveries, right? Nice. I mean, we have to.
That'd be so great. And then you have, what's her name?
Captain Killy.
Killy? Oh, that'd be so good.
I loved Captain Killy.
Yeah, she was excellent.
I love
Captain. Hey, guys, what the heck? What the hell?
I can't wait till we meet the actual evil version of that character.
Yeah.
Yes.
To see what she does with that.
And just how she has to look at the other version, the Killy version, be like, oh.
Maybe it'll be like when Evil Willow met Willow, and Willow was like, I think Evil Me is gay.
I don't remember that in the movie Willow.
It's in there. If you watch it carefully enough, you go and watch
Evil Mad Mardigan.
Yes. Also, the montage of changing the ship into a Terran Empire ship, I loved that. That was so good.
Yeah, the little montage sequence, it was fun.
Yeah. This was super fun. I really loved this. I love a good Mirror Universe episode, and I like what they're doing with it. And they did a good job of sort of making it a little darker, too. Like, it's got that goofiness of the Dark Universe, but it's also got the sort of seriousness from Discovery. So, yeah, I'm totally still on board and can't wait to see what they go next.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Also, Kyle, you kind of look like Brian Fuller.
What?
Who helped start Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
And get that Brian Fuller hair, though. I got the facial hair. But
he grew his hair out quite a bit. Now you have a lot of ketchup. Mm-hmm. And he just upgraded his glasses to even mega size.
Hell yeah.
So you need to do that now.
Yep. Upsize your glasses, Kyle.
He looks like a Jewish loan shark.
Yes.
You know, like Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Elliot Gould.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to end on an Elliot Gould note here. next week, we're going to be talking about actually a whole bunch of different shows from this week.
Amazon next week is what we're – it's Amazon week next week.
So go do your homework on Amazon, listeners. Go catch up and watch some of the shows that are dropping over there, including the Jean-Claude Van –
Johnson. Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, Marvelous Miss Maisel, we're finally going to get to. And then we're probably also going to talk about David Letterman being on Netflix, because that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So go do your homework. And Randy and Kyle, thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Grant.
Kyle, welcome back to Austin.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And until next week,
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.